Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Covered in snow.
Oh, yep. You need to pull the blankets up at night now. We're in Colorado.
Yeah, that hole in the roof tends to make it messy in the morning.
I like to think of that as nature's skylight. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am swell. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. And we might as well just jump right into it. The reason I wanted both of you here today is because yesterday we talked about the revelation that the engineering team that had been working on Apple's wireless networking technologies had been dissolved and reassigned to other groups, which pretty much signals the end of Apple's foray into wireless networking hardware, meaning AirPort Extreme, AirPort Express, and Time Capsule. So today we have comments from listeners and readers who are concerned, not surprised, upset, worried. And so I thought we should address those. And Dave, since you have been doing a lot of deep diving into these technologies, I wanted you back. John, since you always have really interesting perspectives on what Apple is doing, I wanted you here to help out too. So we might as well just jump in. Okay, so how about if we start first with a listener question? And this comes from Paul. And Paul says, in today's episode, you commented on the wireless group going away. What does that mean for AirPlay? I have an Apple TV that AirPlays to speakers. It is fantastic and syncs audio. I also use these speakers frequently for podcasts, yours included. And Paul, thank you for listening. So what Paul is worried about is AirPlay. So with Apple getting out of making their own wireless hardware, what impact is that going to have on AirPlay? And I think what he's really getting at is AirPlay going away? Will he be able to continue using devices in the way he is today to stream video and audio around his network?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, you can stream audio to your Apple TV, right? Mm-hmm. And that's still a device that Apple makes. You know, is there an AirPort Express in the future of Apple? Probably not. But is there a device that does the audio streaming portion, the AirPlay audio streaming portion of AirPort Express in Apple's future? Perhaps. There are third-party devices that do it, so there's no reason Apple couldn't offer that separate from it being baked inside a device that can also be a router or an access point. Mm-hmm. And so I think audio streaming is still alive and well at Apple. I would expect that to. I don't think that's a huge. I don't think it's used by a huge segment of their users, to be perfectly honest, but. But I don't think that goes away necessarily.
I'm with you. I don't think it goes away. I think in some cases it might get a little more difficult to get the pieces hooked together that you want to use. But I don't think it's going away. I mean, if you're using a third-party Wi-Fi access point or base station and you have an Apple TV, you can still stream through that Wi-Fi network back to your Apple TV.
Right.
Yeah. The place that I see a problem, and Dave, you totally pointed this out, is the AirPort Express. And I do know some people that use an AirPort Express for remote speakers.
Sure. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, you can buy, we looked it up recently on a Mac Geek Gab, I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, but there's devices in kind of that $20 to $40 range that will do that for you, that will connect to the wireless network and be an AirPlay audio only streamer.
Right. So for me, what this means is, yes, we'll still be able to use AirPlay, just in some situations, it may not be as convenient as it was. But you also said that Apple may have other products in store that would address that. So I like that hopeful attitude.
Yeah.
John, you tried to jump in a minute ago, and I just kept talking. So sorry about that.
No, I was letting him. I was not intending to jump in. Dave handled that nicely, and I agree. Yeah.
All right. So
I do have a. I did think about maybe the difficulty of making all this stuff work is maybe something that Apple would just assume not carry on forward anymore. I mean, routers and this kind of technology can be especially difficult. Apple makes it easy in the simplest case where you want to just set something up and be done with it. But it's one of those technical aspects of computing that Apple's never really embraced because it's not easy to wrap something simple and glorious and a high sheen around the whole thing. It's pretty geeky in some cases where you're trying to do certain things. And it's just not something that Apple is known for in terms of making things really easy. Apple hasn't been able to do anything other than simplify the airport utility and dumb it down in an effort to simplify, and that still didn't work.
I mean, like we said yesterday, the future of this in terms of in the way that Apple would be expected to do it, meaning Wi-Fi that works everywhere in your home without you having to think about it. The future of that is mesh, right? And we're seeing some of that now. In fact, I put up a piece today that digs deep into it, and that's actually a big part of what we're going to do on Mac Geek Gab on Sunday as we dive deep into routers. But and I think Apple, Apple's not a me too company, right? They don't go out and say we'll do that as well. They say we'll do that better. And unless they believe that they will do it better, it could be argued in any case whether they've succeeded there or not. But if they don't believe they can do it remarkably better, they don't do it.
Right. And I think that you've hit a really good point there, Dave. Going into the mesh networking space for Apple, they would be a me too company.
At the moment, I would presume that they took a look at the existing mesh offerings and said, okay, there's nothing we have to add to this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's just a guess, but that's kind of how Apple operates. Although Apple's never released a coffee table book before, so maybe I don't know how Apple operates anymore. But
I guess this is how they're keeping the excitement and mystery in our relationship or something. All right, so I have another question, and this one comes from Brunto, and his question relates to backing up. He says, great, that leaves me with few alternatives if my time capsule goes kaput. I have a printer currently in the available TC USB port, meaning time capsule USB port, but as my router has only one USB port, I would need a USB hub to accept an external hard drive and the printer for Time Machine backups and printing. So anyhow, where he's going with this is what happens with Apple's Time Machine backups. Is Time Machine kind of screwed now?
I think it's going away. With APFS, I just have this hunch that Apple's going to reinvent and rethink backups. And I think that's the perfect time for the time capsule to sort of linger into the past, into the coffee table book. So I'm optimistic that Apple will reinvigorate our backups with the technology of APFS, and we'll have a solid backup system and we won't need time capsule anymore. It's just a hunch.
So Dave, what do you think?
I think we need network backups.
Mm-hmm.
whether those happen to a time capsule or to a third party device that can accept whatever the future of time machine is. I mean, today there is the time machine protocol or protocol is the wrong way to talk about it, but there is the
ability time machine platform.
Yeah, there's the ability to save time machine backups across the network. It's not all that reliable, regardless of the hardware. It tends to get corrupted all the time, but it is doable, and of course you can do it to a time capsule or, you know, any number of third-party devices that have been built to support that. So those third-party devices still exist. Maybe Apple, as part of this decision, decided we don't want to be in the business of supporting these regularly failing over-the-air time machine backups. They're fine, actually, over Ethernet. Generally, it's the wireless ones that just the sparse bundle gets corrupted and turns into a real problem, and then you just have to refresh and start from scratch. But I think there will be very much be a place for over the network backups with Time Machine in whatever future capacity it takes in Apple file system. I mean, Time Machine will change, but that's more about the local drives than it is about the network stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in this case, you're a little more optimistic than I am. I've been wondering for a little while now what the future of Time Machine is. And I'm wondering if Time Machine is heading down the same path as Apple's scripting tools, meaning no significant updates, no changes. They just continue to work in whatever state they're in and are basically not broken. And that's kind of where I see Time Machine.
I don't think Apple can abandon Time Machine because the Mac still has too much life in it. Even though it's not the emphasis anymore, even though its days are numbered, but it's the days are numbered in thousands and tens of thousands, not hundreds.
Sure.
So Time Machine has to endure or be revamped with APFS, and I think it'll be revamped.
I think it will endure without any significant improvements.
So, well, APFS is going to offer a better technical way to do backups. How they implement that, we don't know yet.
Right. True. Oh, yeah, Time Machine will change with APFS. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I think it'll be more solid.
Yeah, let's hope they get away. Well, the network stuff is where it's an issue because it has to create that sparse bundle in order to manage it the way it wants from across the network. So, but, yeah. There's a million ways to do it. I'm curious to see which one Apple chooses.
Yeah. All right. So my takeaway from this is over the network backups through Apple's own utilities will still be a thing, but we are not all on the same page on exactly what form that will take.
Right.
Okay. Next question, this one comes from Ardman. He says, I wonder if they, meaning Apple, will give away the airport or airport utility technology to router manufacturers who want to offer an easy install Time Machine ready version for Mac owners. I mean, they stopped making monitors, but didn't they partner with LG for a 5K screen that plays well with Mac? Why not go the similar route for a router? Your says a lot. My initial reaction is, no, Apple will just let that die and third-party developers will be on their own.
Well, didn't you mention on the show yesterday, Dave, that this perhaps opened the door nicely to Apple selling some very nice mesh routers in the Apple store since there wouldn't be any competition
anymore? No Apple competition, right.
I think that could happen.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I totally see that happening. It's only a matter of time before we see a third party Wi-Fi router system being sold in Apple stores.
Yes,
but as far as Apple's own utilities for managing those devices,
no.
I don't see Apple sharing that technology with anyone. I think they'll just take their own code and they'll let it die.
Right.
Yeah, so now it's on the shoulders of device makers to give us something that is easy to use and easy to configure. And Dave,
Apple does have a stick here. Apple has some standards that it enforces before you can get into the Apple Store, and over and above things like the MFI certification. So if Apple were to look at one of these routers and say, we think the user interface is so bad that we're not going to sell it in our stores, but maybe someday when the user interface is glorious and wonderful, come back and let us take a look at it, we might let you into the store. So there's a big carrot and stick there.
Sure. Yeah. And some of these devices have spectacular user interfaces that absolutely blow away anything that Apple has ever released for any of their routers. And some of them have awful user interfaces. And it wouldn't surprise me if Apple chooses the ones in the former group. But, that, you know, that's how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like what Eero offers now, and actually there's a new version of the Eero app that makes radical changes and adds a lot of features that I've seen screenshots, but it should be out today or tomorrow. But even the existing version of the Eero app is one of the most elegant iOS apps I've ever used. And actually the Amplify app is that way too, the one from Ubiquiti. They're both really, really stellar. In terms of how simple they are to navigate and understand what you're doing. And if you want to get into the, you know, mildly geekier portions like enabling UPnP or doing port forwarding or that sort of thing, those interfaces are great too. In fact, the port forwarding on the Eero, you just tap a device and you say what port you want to forward to it, and it tracks what its IP address is. I mean, it's really well done. Mm-hmm. And then there's some that, like I said, are just awful. And that's, you know, but in general, router interfaces have gotten a lot better over the last 5 years.
You know, Dave, based on the information that you shared in your piece today, by the way, I will have a link to it in the show notes because,
thanks.
Wow, people, you need to read this. It's fantastic. So, Dave, thanks for writing it. But I'm kind of going all roundabout to say that from your experience, you've been able to see firsthand that these interfaces that third-party device makers are offering in many cases are really good. And so losing Apple's interface into controlling your Wi-Fi network may not be such a big deal, because we may end up with something that works even better than what Apple offered.
Right. Well, it definitely. I mean, I have something better than what Apple offered, and you could too. I mean, it's out there. So,
yeah. And based on reading your piece, even though I don't have a big place, I really want Eero in here now.
Yeah. So that's the one question, and that's sort of the thing that the piece I wrote today didn't address. It's only a part of sort of the deep dive that we're doing on Sunday on Mac Geekab. And there's that piece of it that there's still a home for these standalone router devices. It's just not a very big home. But the homes that where one device is enough, it's enough. And the cool part is you can go get an Eero. If you want the Eero interface without all of the mesh capabilities, I mean, you don't start getting that until you have two or three devices, but you can get that interface. You can buy a standalone Eero or a single Eero for it's $200 normally, but this weekend it'll be $149. So,
hey, Dave,
with their Black Friday sale.
Does the Eero support IPv6?
It does not. No.
Uh-huh. See, for a long time, the Apple routers were favored by Comcast because they did a very good implementation of IPv6. And if you go to Comcast's website, you know, you see a list of approved IPv6 devices. So that's something to think about in the future, too, is whether these devices get onto your ISP's favored list and supporting IPv6.
Yeah, it doesn't take a lot to be, I mean, if your ISP is Comcast, it really what it is now the ISPs are all using industry standard implementations of assigning addresses for IPv6. And there's a couple of different ones, but they're all using them. So you don't really need to worry about the favored list as much as you do just a router that supports industry standard IPv6 stuff. And I mean, I suppose that's just a different way of looking at the same problem. Eero, of the three I tested, Eero and Amplify do not currently support IPv6. The Netgear Orbi does. But I'm told by both Ubiquiti, who makes the Amplify, and the Eero folks that they are, that IPv6 is coming. So
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then on that happy note, I'm wrapping us up because we're out of time. So, Dave, thank you for being here today and bringing your amazing wealth of knowledge.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. It's so glad you're here. And listeners, what you need to do is listen to this Sunday's Met Geek Gab, because Dave and John Braun are going to be diving really deep into this. So all that technical stuff that you want to know about that takes more than 20 minutes in today's show, they'll have you covered. So be sure and listen to this weekend's Met Geek Gab. And John, thank you for being here. I'm always glad that you show up with your amazing insights.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. And thank you so much for your questions and your comments, because it's always great getting to interact with you. Since we can't sit at the same table for this, it's kind of like our little virtual table. So thanks for sitting down with me and sharing. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.